the next episode of the 10-4 show here on Channel 9. This week we're going to talk about writing extensible applications using the new Managed Extensibility Framework that comes as part of .NET 4. The Managed Extensibility Framework, as you can see here, is just a new library. It's a .NET library. It's something you add a reference to and then you have full leverage to it. Nothing special there. It's a very powerful library, though, that enables applications written in .NET to make that shift from being statically compiled to dynamically composed. One of the big problems that we face today in software is that the cost of software maintenance is so high. Based on some studies, it's shown that as much as 80% of a software project can be spent in software maintenance rather than original software development. Now, there's been a whole slew of principles that have been developed to help address this, to help making software more robust and making the process of writing software more safe. One of those principles, as we'll talk about, enables composition. The goal is this idea of composing an application together. Sometimes we refer to this as composition over inheritance. When people first learn to write object-oriented software, they tend to immediately gravitate towards the concept of inheritance. They think about relationships, and this causes many problems that show themselves within the software that's actually being written. What we want to do is make the shift from inheritance to thinking more about putting an application together via a process of composition. We want to compose an application. We want to put various pieces together and form a whole from those pieces that are put together, not by statically compiling it all and building a more monolithic application. One of the principles that we often talk about in object-oriented design is the open-close principle. You can see here the open-close principle says that software entities, this could be classes, namespaces, what have you, software entities should be open for extension but closed for modification. You should be able to extend the behavior of a class without actually having to modify the source code of that class. Classes should have one reason to change. If one of their dependencies changes, you shouldn't have to change the code in the class itself. We want to build this system that's open for extension but is closed for modification. When we take away the need to modify existing written source code, you help alleviate some of the problems associated with the modification of existing source code, like introducing new bugs, breaking assumptions that were previously held truthful in the existing source code. The idea is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That software has been tested, that code has been tested, leave it alone. Find a way to extend the behavior in such a way where you don't have to alter it in such a invasive way. We want to find a non-invasive way to extend our applications. Now, one of the popular patterns and series of frameworks that we talk about when it comes to extending behavior in the open-close principle and the implementation of the dependency inversion principle and dependency injection is what we call IOC containers, inversion of control. Essentially, at the core of it, you're taking those dependencies that your class might be composed from and letting the responsibility of satisfying those dependencies be dictated by outside of the class. The class itself shouldn't have to address how to satisfy those dependencies. Those dependencies should be able to be injected into the class itself. Now, when you apply dependency injection and inversion of control, there's two angles you can come at it at: the known versus the unknown. In the known area, we know all the pieces that compose the system. We've done this perhaps for internal composition to make it a lot looser coupling so that we can more easily extend our application in the future. But as a developer of that application, we know all the known ways that that application can actually be extended. where one of the other angles is this idea of unknown extensions, where people might think about these as third-party extensions. When I write an app that's designed to be extended by a third party, when I'm compiling that app, when I'm building that app, when I'm developing that app, when I'm actually releasing that app, I have no clue all the different ways that third parties might find to actually extend my application. Nor do I want to know. I want a system that supports that ability to be able to declaratively say, here's a specific extension point that third parties should be able to consume or be able to extend my application with. And this is why when you get into this area of unknown extensibility and third-party injection, a more declarative model really needs to take place. This is one of the strengths of the managed extensibility framework that we'll dive into, is this idea of unknown extension. Building an extensible application that third parties can have full trust and confidence in how and where they should be extending that application, or where they can be extending that application. So the managed extensibility framework, there's only a few concepts that you actually have to know to use the managed extensibility framework. I know I've been throwing a lot of terms around, like the dependency inversion principle, dependency injection, IOC container, and all the like, but let's throw all that out the window. Forget about everything I've said so far, and let's look at just the MEF basics, how simple MEF is actually to use as a developer. At the core, an application using MEF is built of parts. Parts are those individual pieces that are composed together to form a whole. You can think of these almost as Legos. They're building blocks. They're things that you snap together in certain combinations in certain ways in order to form the fundamental behavior of the application. So parts is at the core of MEF. This is one of the big basics, is this idea of composing an entire application, not monolithically, but from smaller bite-sized building blocks that can then be put together dynamically at runtime. Once you have these parts, there's only three things you need to worry about. It's as simple as 1, 2, 3, I promise. MEF is as simple as 1, 2, 3. First, export it. When you export it, you're declaring, hey, this is something that I want to make available to the rest of the system. Here's a part that I'm implementing. Everyone else, I'm implementing it. Feel free to consume it as you wish. Number two, we have import it. This is where you have a class that may need to consume a part or be composed of a part, and it'll say, hey, I need this part to be satisfied. It declares, this is a part I need. I don't care how you find it. I don't care how you satisfy that. This is just something I need. Please satisfy this for me. And third, then we compose it. We take all these exports that we know about, we take all the imports that we know about, and we throw it in a mixing bowl. We mix them all together, match together all the ones that actually match with each other, and this is the act of composition. We're putting together all these building blocks, throwing them together, rearranging them, figure out the way that it all fits together, compose it, and then make it available to the developer. That's all you need to know to use MEF. Just export it, import it, compose it. It's truly as simple as 1, 2, 3. Let's look at an example. So here's a mortgage calculator. Of course, today in this market and the financial situations that we're all in, the first thing I want to do is wake up in the morning, use a mortgage calculator to, of course, calculate how much more money I've lost. It's always nice to know how less I have in my bank account each day. So in the mortgage calculator, remember three simple steps: export, import, and compose it. So for exporting, this simple mortgage calculator, you can see, implements an interface, iMortgage Calculator. I want to make that interface known to the world. I want to be able to say, hey, here's an implementation. I am a mortgage calculator. So anyone who needs a mortgage calculator can use me. Well, I said it's as simple as export it. Number one, exporting. You can see here at the top we've added an attribute that's export type of iMortgage calculator. So I'm declaring to the world, hey, I'm exporting an iMortgage calculator. I am a mortgage calculator. Anyone who needs me can consume me in the sense of a mortgage calculator. Number two, we have import it. You can see here our mortgage calculator has its own dependency, this logger that it needs to actually log information, perhaps to a log file, perhaps to a database. It doesn't care how it's implemented. It just needs a logger. So number two is import it. We're declaring to the world, hey world, I have a dependency I need satisfied. In this case, it's an interface, iLogger. I need a logger. I don't care where you find it. I don't care how you find it. I need a logger. Please give it to me. So in this class, this simple example that we see, it's as easy as export it and import it. One, two. Export and import. Very, very simple. I want to keep on emphasizing how simple MEF is actually to use to build an extensible application. The last part, number three, compose it. Well, compose it, think of it this way. We have this concept of catalogs. Catalogs provide the parts. You can think of catalog as a phone book, where I have a phone book. If I, the user, need, let's say, a plumber, I go to the phone book and say, hey, phone book, I need a plumber. Who are all the plumbers you know about? And then the phone book can return a list that says, hey, these are all the plumbers. And then as the consumer, then I can do more information that I want with that in order to choose which plumber to go. I don't actually have to call around to every plumber in the city to say, hey, are you a plumber? Could you satisfy my needs? And so on. That's taking care of the phone book. That's taking care of this catalog. A catalog is responsible for providing parts to the application. A catalog does the discovery. And it's easy to do that discovery because we're using a declarative model via attributes. So it knows explicitly what's designed to be provided as a part. So a catalog discovers the parts. And then finally we have the container. The container is the matchmaker. Once we have all these parts, parts can say, okay, I export this. Okay, I have these imports that I need. And the container matches all this together. Well, out of the box, there's a couple catalogs that come with MEF. The first, at kind of the lowest level, is the type catalog, where we have a catalog that provides, you know, a type. Building on top of that, we have assembly catalog, where an assembly catalog will look at an assembly, look at all the types within that assembly that are declared as parts, and then filter up all of those parts. Now, building on it even more, you have the directory catalog, where the directory catalog will look at a specific directory, find all the assemblies within that directory, and for each assembly in that directory, you then will find all the types that are declared as exports and imports, and then make them available as parts to the container. And then finally, you have an aggregating catalog where you can mix and match all these. I can be monitoring two directories. I can be monitoring a directory and an assembly catalog. I can have an assembly catalog and one specific type that perhaps is homegrown. Mix and match all this stuff together to be able to compose it very compositionally, even at the catalog layer. So let's actually look at what this looks in action. I'm going to bring up a sample here where this is not MEFified. This application actually doesn't use MEF yet. It's a very simple application where I'm going to retrieve listings. I'm going to retrieve real estate data that says these are the houses for sale in your area. And for this application, it's going to retrieve that data online via an Astoria data service, an ADO.NET data service that returns all that information for me that I'll then consume in this WPF application. So if I actually go ahead and run this, and you'll see that when it comes up, we have an application that's pulling listings. You can see down here, getting listings from the web. So it's going over the net to this Astoria data service to return all these houses that are for sale using the data grid. I can do all that kind of stuff, some good WPF stuff there, but a very simple app. I want to keep this very simple so that you can understand exactly what the core of MEF is. Now let's MEFify this application. How is that window that we just built actually put together? If you see here, we're actually newing up our dependencies directly. Now, in the dependency inversion world, IOC container world, this is bad, 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 bad. We want to get away from this. Remember, we want those dependencies satisfied by others so that we can inject other dependencies that are necessary. So remember, I said meth is as simple as 1, 2, 3. Export it, import it, and compose it. So let's go through and actually apply that. First, I have the online listings repository, which is a listings repository that I want to declare to the world, hey, world, I'm a listings repository. Please consume me if you need one. So I'm going to export this. I'm going to export it as an iListings repository, so it's all interface-based and nice and abstract, actually depending on abstractions. Let's go back to our window. I'm also going to export this because I want the container to satisfy this dependency. So now we have exported. Number two is imported. Very simple. Here I have a dependency that I need satisfied. So I'm going to declare that. I'm going to say, hey, I have an import. I have a dependency I need imported. I don't care where you find it. Please satisfy this dependency for me. So now we can remove this. One of the problems we're at right now, though, is that this code that does the data binding, when the constructor runs, we haven't satisfied the imports yet. So we need an easy way to let meth know, when you're done satisfying all the imports, let me know. That's through this interface that we can implement, ipart import satisfied. So when you've satisfied all my parts that are being imported, execute this method. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to take my data binding code and put it down there. That's all we need to do now. I've exported and I'm imported. This code, this consumer code, this is all that needs to take place. All we need to do now is configure the composition step, this idea of compose it, number three, a compositional process. So I'm actually going to go back into my application. And you can see here, we're newing up a listings window. Once again, in the dependency inversion world, newing up something you need, bad, 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 bad. We want to get away from that. We want the entire composition structure. When I say I want to type, all the dependencies, the entire object graph that needs to be built in order to satisfy that, I want meth to take care of for me. So I'm going to actually have the container do that. Number one, I need a catalog. Here, that catalog that provides the parts, I'm using an assembly catalog and just saying, give me the current running assembly. So find all the parts that are currently in an assembly and actually use those to make available to a container. Next, I need a container, and then I'm going to say, hey, Mr. Container, when you're doing that matchmaking of putting everything together, when you need to discover all the parts that are available to you to satisfy that process, here are the catalogs to use in order to discover those parts. In this case, I'm just going to tell the container, here's the assembly catalog that I'm using. And then all I need to do is, instead of newing up that window directly like we did, I'm going to ask the container for the window. So I'm going to go to the container and go, hey, Mr. Container, I have a listings window that I need. I don't care where you get it. I don't care how you get it. Just get me a listings window. And then it'll go in here and say, okay, I need to get a listings window. Hey, here's a listings window that's being exported. It's declared to the world, I'm a listings window that others can use. And then it looks, oh, but it has imports that it needs satisfied. So it sees that, and then it goes, okay, I need a listings repository. So it goes back and then it says, oh, I found an online listings repository that's of the type that I need. So I'm going to go ahead and new up an online listings repository for everything that I need to satisfy. And then it'll create this, it'll set that, and then we have everything we need. So let's go ahead and run this now, and you'll see that the functionality actually hasn't changed at all. So it still goes and does all that. Getting listings from the web returns all the houses. Very, very simple. Not many changes did we have to actually make to get this running. It's as simple as 1, 2, 3, export it, import it, compose it. That's all you need to know in order to get off the ground using the Managed Extensibility Framework. A very, very simple framework to use. But let's take this even further. I want to show you where I've gone with this demo in a further step ahead. Let's actually skip a few steps up. I'm going to set this as the startup project. And let's go back and look at the listings window in this. There's a couple changes that I've made. First, I'm also importing controls that are available, and you'll see what those are. And then I'm importing my listings repository, allowing it to be recomposed. So the allowing it to be recomposed means at runtime, we can actually change out what's being used for that repository depending on some condition. So let's go ahead and run this version. So I'm going to go ahead and run this, and you'll see that it's essentially the same application when it pops up. I have listings that are getting retrieved from the web, and you can see here they're getting bound to the data grid, so they're returned from the data service. And there's a couple things you can do with them. You can download them and you can email them. What's interesting about the download them is the functionality for download them allows this to be used offline. So right now I'm online, so it retrieves from the web. When I go offline, I want it to be retrieved directly from my hard drive. Well, let's do something interesting. I'm actually going to turn off my network adapter here. So now the network is off, and notice the application immediately switched to getting listings locally and then is pulling them directly off the hard drive. So what's interesting about this, let's go the other way. Let's turn it back on. So I'm turning my network adapter back on. And once we actually connect to the wireless network, which may take a bit, you can see as soon as we connect, getting listings from the web. I never restarted the application or anything. It automatically took care of it for me. And that automatic switching, let's go back and look at this listings window. Nowhere in this code is there anything about network awareness. Nothing about network awareness. In this case, I've been able to extend the application to add network awareness to my application without changing the source code of the form. The form doesn't care whether it's getting the data locally or whether it's getting the data over the network. It could be getting it from anywhere else. It does not matter. But we've been able to extend the behavior by extending it elsewhere. So in this case, in this sample, this source code is actually available online. I have a network aware catalog. So the catalog is responsible for all the network awareness. So that's, then I only use the network aware catalog. So when that switch happens, we automatically switch it up without, the form doesn't need to know about it. So by taking this to the logical conclusion, you can see we're still using very simple concepts, just import, export, and compose it. Remember, simple is 1, 2, 3, and we've built an application that can be easily extended. If I want to add another control that, let's say, uploads the listings to a SharePoint site to share with other people or something like that, I can add that behavior without modifying any source control. I just add another control in the functionality. I could even put it in an assembly and just drop it in a running directory and have the application automatically pick it up as well. So a very powerful approach to building extensible applications. I hope you enjoyed this look at the Managed Extensibility Framework. If you want more information on the Managed Extensibility Framework, make sure to check out the Managed Extensibility Framework on CodePlex. That would be www.codeplex.com/MEF. And I hope you've enjoyed this. We'll be digging into this in the future. This is a very exciting part of .NET Framework 4 that's coming. Until next time, over and out.